Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing its shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton, co-host Hollywood is on assignment, but we are both veterans of the United States Marine Corps. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military. We've got a great show coming up for you, but first we want to thank some of our sponsors that help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama, Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Child, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, and the Medicare Lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Got my tongue wrapped around my eye tooth there. And thank you to all of our sponsors and all of our great listeners. We cannot do this without your support, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. SBN is all about giving our veterans a choice on the issues that are important to them, so join the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. Later on the show, we'll be joined by a candidate for Congress in Alabama, District 1 here, Jerry Carl, and we'll get his view on support for our veterans and military on Capitol Hill. And, of course, my tirade on We Won't Get Fooled Again. But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Mr. Phil Quigley. Phil, welcome back to Scuttlebutt Network, and thank you for your service, brother.
You're welcome, Tom. I always enjoy being here.
Man, I tell you, you got your hands full here the last couple of weeks trying to put this Purple Heart ceremony together, but it's really coming together nicely. Give us a little rundown on it.
I sure will, and I sure appreciate your support, too, because you'll be there as well, and not only enjoying, you'll be working, too, there, brother.
Oh, okay.
But the rundown, we're here. It's another day away, Friday, 5 to 7. We now have about 50 Purple Heart recipients that we'll be honoring.
Goodness.
It's amazing, Tom, because we keep getting phone calls. And, you know, this started off as a statewide program, or actually local with the 2206 with our buddy Bill Bergman. And at that time, and I know we talked about this before, but Dr. Andrew Delgadio, a Marine.
Right.
And also a professor over at West Florida of Military Science. You know, he was the state commander for the Military Order of Purple Heart. 3 weeks ago, they go out to North Carolina to their conference. He is now the senior vice commander,
number two in the United States.
Awesome. Going to be a speaker. It's going to be great. And also Dr. Jack Hawkins, the longest.
That's my hero there now.
Me too. Yes. Another Marine.
Yes.
Vietnam, two-time Purple Heart recipient, and the longest tenured chancellor in the U.S. since 1989. He's been there, Troy.
And he was our veteran, the Patriot of the year last year.
Yes, yes, he was.
At our Veterans Day ceremony here in the Mobile area.
And you know, it's cool because, we got a Navy guy that's going to be the next Patriot of the year. Obviously, we don't know yet the Veteran of the Year, but it's pretty well been put out there with Kent Davis, and he's a part. He'll be one of the hosts. Him and Major General Summerall and Rear Admiral Kent Davis.
Right.
They are going to be hosting the VIP room for where the recipients will be. So just a great night. A lot of youth involved. The Boy Scouts, the JRTC from Daphne High School, Troop 87 Boy Scouts, but we got a lot of other Boy Scouts, too, that are coming. And I'll tell you why they're, because, and the Boy Scouts, Troop 87, will be doing the flag folding. But we've got Boy Scouts coming in from all over, plus JRTCs, because we are going to have each one of them escort when the Admiral and General bring them in at the beginning of the ceremony. How awesome is that, Tom?
That's awesome.
Each one of the Boy Scouts and Jared, they're going to get to meet these veterans, these Purple Heart recipients, and get to escort them into the room.
That's our future. That's our
that's
future
right.
of America.
That's right.
It's all these young guys that are coming up now, and to be able to see them come through the Boy Scouts and all and participate in all these veterans events that we've seen them at and had them actually involved in here over over this past year. It's just really neat.
Right.
And you know that they'll go forward with them and their mentality about what's happening to this country.
And you're exactly right. We're also going to have the Baldwin Youth Orchestra playing. But, you know, Tom, you know, every day, you know, when Fran would call me, oh, my gosh, we got this, we got that. And I loved it when she called because I knew it was even that much better.
Yeah.
And I got to give Fran Barber kudos.
Oh, yes.
She does a great job. Couldn't do it without her.
No.
But this has really gotten to become very emotional. And I think there's a lot of the news media I've been talking to today. And Private First Class Joseph Dial Chancery from Lottie, Alabama, up around the Bruton area. After 75 years, his remains have been identified. He was over in Korea. He was in the Korean War. And he became missing in 1950. And it was Operation Reservoir. And
it's better known as Chosen Reservoir.
That's right, Chosen Reservoir, exactly. And, that's right. And so, but, you know, 75 years, you know, because they didn't have the, you know, to identify the bodies. First, you know, obviously he was MIA. And, you know, when you fast forward, 1954, a lot of the remains, they were doing some exchange back then. The United Nations Command, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and the Chinese People Volunteer Forces, who were all involved in the Korean conflict or war, there started becoming, you know, after it was over, I think, 53, and that's about when that ended.
Yeah.
So they started doing some of these exchanges. And I can tell you, it come to 1956, there was a lot of exchanges done. 848 of these remains could not be identified because we didn't have the forensic technology back then.
Right,
and
right.
One of them was Private First Class Chancery.
Good gracious. And from actually the Mobile area.
Yes.
Well, he says relative. It's one of the, like a manager of the Gardberg and Kimberly.
That's right.
Event
that's
over
right.
there.
I think it's a great niece, maybe. Because she's going to be there.
That's Christine Cumby.
That's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom, what else, too, on this that it amazes me? These remains were entered into a national cemetery in Honolulu, and it was called
the Punch Bowl. Golly, wonder where they got that name from. Come
exactly.
On. Well,
exactly.
We took a punch in the gut for losing all those guys. I'll go with that.
Well, in March of 2021, with forensics, they felt like at that time that they had the right, you know, with the dental, the DNA, the bones, that they were starting to identify a lot of these. And they were, then in March 23rd of 2026, they identified.
Okay.
And so now here he is, and at the event, at the ceremony, we get to give the Purple Heart.
That's awesome.
To the family.
That's awesome. Yeah, then the family gets to close that part
right.
of their life and all
and,
the ones.
And have,
you
the,
know,
have the funeral. And
have the funeral and all up in Lottie, and I'll certainly be there.
Flying in tomorrow at 10:43.
All right, we're going to take a break here and get some word from our sponsors.
Okay.
And, there's so much information that we've got to go in addition to this that as soon as we come back, we'll be able to talk about the fact that he will be brought into Radney's and then – Mm-hmm. Praise the Guard Riders have got a big part
that's
in all
right.
this. They're playing
that's right.
a really big thing. Highway mm-hmm. Patrol.
Yes.
Come on. You know, that yeah, is really
Florida's going to bring them over to the state line, head them off to Alabama. I mean, as you said, big.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network on the other side, we'll continue our conversation with Brother Phil Quigley here and get some more information about this great warrior that we've now got returned home after 75 years.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program. Voice of the Veterans for Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with the Top Gat, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we'd like to, you know, thank all the fine folks that helped make this show possible. But we're also back here with Brother Phil Quigley, and we're continuing our conversation in regards to all the happenings that are occurring mm-hmm. here next 3 or 4 days and this Friday and Saturday.
You know, you and I were talking while we're taking a break. And so, obviously, tomorrow at Pensacola Airport from Honolulu, which is already en route now, 10:43, they'll be landing with military escort, obviously, the remains of Private First Class Chancery. And it's already been talked about and everything over in Pensacola. Channel 3 is going to be there. And got a great phone call from a writer that's doing a story on them. But then, you know, Tom, you said, and I mean, how cool is this? The Patriot Guard Riders are going to be a part of the procession coming from the Pensacola Airport to go over to the, you know, to head over to the funeral home. And what was that, Radney's?
Radney's Funeral Home on Dolphin.
Right. And so they'll lead out with the Florida State Troopers, the Patriot Guards, the family members, the great niece and Christine. And,
right.
And the niece, and take them to the state line. That's where they'll make an exchange with the Alabama troopers. And it's pretty cool because they'll go down through the causeway, and they'll go up over the African Town Bridge. And what Radney's off, what, Dolphin Street?
Dolphin 65. Street, right.
And it's just going to be emotional. And, you know, Tom, you and I, we're veterans, military. Can you think of the emotions right now with this family? Mm-hmm. 75 years of what's going through. You
oh,
know,
yes.
Obviously,
yes.
He had 7 brothers, 4 sisters. He was one of 12, and I don't know how many are left and where he was in the pecking order. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of the family members
sure.
that are coming in. And I just,
well, it's a big family event. It's a big yes. veterans memorial
it,
event.
It is. And, you know, there's another quick story. Dr. Delgadio, when he was in there in North Carolina, he talked with the Wisconsin commander, and he was in Vietnam, and 2 feet away from him, his fellow soldier was killed, and he's coming down with 20 other of the, I don't know all recipients, but friends and some recipients, but he wants to be here for twofold, for what's taking place, because this is one of the largest ones in the U.S., but that fellow soldier that was fallen soldier,
right.
buddy of his, was from Foley, Alabama.
Man. That's awesome. And so, I understand he comes down there every year to visit his grave.
He did. I mean, you know, and you know, we have a lot of people out there, Tom, that are patriots, that back the military and the veterans, and a lot of organizations, and, You know, even ball clubs, you have your brothers, but I don't think anybody understands, unless they've been in the military, right, of your fellow brother
That's
and
our
sister.
Family.
That's our family.
They took our civilian family away from us when we went through the boot camps and mm-hmm. all the different phases of military, and they never give us that back. We never lost our veterans' family, mm-hmm. and that's one of the reasons why we have so many suicides, I think, because these guys, they're worried about their buddies and who's got their six, who's mm-hmm. got their back, mm-hmm. and when they're not there to protect them.
And that's true.
You know? And that mentally, that has become a real challenge, but mm-hmm. Once a veteran, always a veteran. You don't take that away from them.
That's right. You know, you and I have a lot of fun together, and I always appreciate you having us on. But, I was counting the other day. Man, we got a lot of Marines out here. We got a lot of Marines a part of this show, with two Marines speaking. You know, doing what you're doing.
Well, it takes all branches of service.
It does.
It's not just one branch of service to be able to do that.
No.
You know, and the Army, here you go. We're talking about this veteran lost his life
right.
at Chosin Reservoir. Mm. Well, you know, we've got our buddies here. Bubba Jackson.
Yeah.
That is in our detachment that was in the Marine side of it, on the other side of the reservoir.
You know, that you just brought something up to one of the greatest generations. I mean, they're not very many left.
Oh, they're few and far between.
We got a 102-year-old coming over from Baton Rouge that was also in Okinawa.
Right.
The Navy, same thing, coxman driving.
Right.
The Higgins boats, right?
Right.
And the one you're talking about.
Yeah, we've got Pop Bruce Jones
right.
coming. He's 100 years
and
old.
How about the Neymans?
The Neymans, 101-year-old.
That's right.
Yes, you know, and then his brother is 97 years
right.
old.
Right.
Lewis is 97, 98 years
mm-hmm.
old.
And it just, everybody needs to come out. They need to come out, see this. It's turned into a magnificent event. Not that it wasn't at the beginning.
Right.
But it's just, it's amazing. And, Steve Carey's always talking about the president of the Mobile Bay Veterans Commission. And, you know, he challenged me as the marketing VP, you know, let's get these youth out here and let's do things throughout the year. And, you know, as Steve said at one of the meetings, you know, when this started, the commission, it was about the Patriot of the Year dinner, then the Veterans
mm-hmm,
Parade,
mm-hmm.
and then the Veterans Luncheon, which you know that because right here we're sitting next to a former Veteran of the Year. And you know, it's like Steve said, there's so much more. It's a 12-month thing.
Right, it is, yeah.
And we had the 107th birthday party of the American Legion. We've had a couple other things, and now here we are with the Purple Heart Salute.
Right, right.
And we're turning this into an annual event, and Fran may kill me, but it's just amazing how everybody gets together and does this.
Well, there's so many veterans out there that mm-hmm. Still aren't aware of it and still
that's
not
true.
Going to be there to get their additional certification.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our congressman, Barry Moore is going to be there, and
he's got
some citations
mm-hmm.
He's going to present
mm-hmm.
to our Purple Heart recipients, and also it's going to be a glorious afternoon.
Right, and I want to give a couple of kudos. I know they're one of your sponsors, but let me tell you, Nick and Pete Panini and Nick,
oh, what awesome!
They didn't balk when they, you know, we're going to have appetizers in the VIP room for the recipients.
Right.
Man, they wanted to do it, and also to. You know, just thanks to everyone that's helped
and done
the thing that they've done out there, and I appreciate it.
We don't want to forget our Patriot Guard riders.
No, we don't.
All these veterans
we don't.
On these bikes, and
no.
they're kickstands up mm-hmm. here in the Mobile area
mm-hmm.
and headed over to the state line to pick up this veteran.
And Juju's leading the way.
Yeah, Juju, the man.
Hey, you know what's cool? Admiral Davis, he can't make it over. He wants to, but he's probably going to be definitely going to the funeral. And he's with the vet recovery, and he's got a lot going on. But he's a Patriot rider.
Yes.
You just
he's
never
going
know.
That now?
Yep.
I know he's got a new bike and he's been riding it around.
He's got that Kawasaki.
I know. Rice rocket.
Yeah. He's gonna kill us.
But, that's all right.
But you know, I want to say
that before.
That's funny. I want to thank Frank Barrell too. I mean,
awesome, yes.
He is great, and what he's done with he was former 82nd Airborne in the Army, but also too JROTC, ROTC at South, JROTC in Mobile, and he's going to be in charge of all the JROTC Boy Scouts and everything. And he's going to have they're going to gather with him. He's going to give him a challenge coin and set him up with each one of the veterans. And we got to thank Colonel Barrell for everything he does too. And it takes everyone.
Well, it takes a village.
It does.
But it takes a village of veterans to make this work.
I agree.
But now then you have gentlemen that should be veterans, like you're talking about, Panini Pete. And
yes.
Jake,
yes.
Mario from...
Well, I think about all the things that, you and I were out there with everybody, Fran, Frank, your wife and all, and when they did what they did with the bingo and donated the month's, part of the month's proceeds.
Right.
And then there was a gentleman in the crowd.
Sure, stepped up and doubled it.
He sure did.
Yes.
And that's when what's,
then they
great
turned
patriots.
Around and had the bash on the bay there.
Sure did.
On the waterfront.
Boy, that was awesome.
On July the 2nd, and then donated that money to the South Alabama Veterans
Council. Sure did.
Council.
I mean, they don't ever stop. I mean, and I've seen you out there doing flag raisings. And
oh, well, that's what we do,
Mm-hmm.
I've got a glorious group of guys from the P.O. Wilson Detachment of Marine Corps League, and we're just out there, still busting heads.
I want to thank somebody really quick, and
right,
I know he listens. Okay, I'll do it quick. Robin Lejeune. Couldn't have done it without him, the mayor Daphne.
Yes.
He has taken care of us. He opened up the Civic Center and has done a great job. And I got to thank Brad Bass, too, the mayor of Spanish Fork, because anytime we had something, he was there. But I had to thank Robin. That's who I wanted to thank.
Yes, you got to. Well, the Daphne City itself has stepped up on that.
And it's also a Purple Heart City.
Yeah, they're Purple Heart City as
Daphne
well.
Daphne High School.
All right. How much time we got here, Mr. Engineer?
And Jerry Carl's going to be at it.
Well,
I know he's
Jerry
coming
Carl's
on the show.
He'll be there, and he'll be on with us here just in a matter of minutes.
Got to love Jerry.
Going to get a little report from him as to things that he's running or how he's running for his reelection. He's an awesome gentleman.
Boy,
and he's a member of our detachment as an associate
member.
That's
right.
He and his wife and his daughter. His son's a Marine.
And I'll be there tomorrow night.
There you go. Yes, sir. And then you can always go to our Facebook page for more information. And on the other side of the break, congressional candidate for Alabama's number one, Mr. Jerry Carl, when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on Scuttlebutt Network. And we want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's Hottest Eatery at the coolest location, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by Brother Mr. Jerry Carl, candidate for Congress in Alabama. Brother Jerry, I know you've probably still got a few words left to say, even though you've been on the campaign trail for a while.
We have, but I tell you, I've enjoyed this campaign so much. I can't put it into words. It has filled my heart. I love to stay busy, and I love challenges. And this campaign has been a challenge without a doubt. With the district lines changing four different times, in four different places. So we just, you know, you just have to improvise sometime and get it done. So, but we're right here at the end. We got an election, or we're at the end for the Republican standpoint, the primary, basically, with a special runoff. But it's going to be next Tuesday. Obviously, that's August the 11th. And please, folks that are listening to your chat, your program tonight, get out and vote. We're looking for a very, very small turnout. It's embarrassing to say, but we think there's going to be about a 5% turnout.
Man,
and
that's,
you're
going to
allow 5% of the people to determine who your next congressman is.
Right.
That's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing, Congressman.
And to win as a candidate, I mean, that'll be part of the label that they'll stick on us. So,
right.
We're not proud of that. But the key is to win the most votes. It's a winner take all. And we're ready. We're working right up to the last minute. We're packed the rest of this week. I'm taking Sunday off and going to my own church. See if they'll let me back in. I've been visiting so many different churches, but it's really important we get out, Tom, and express our rights that so many men and women that have fought and died for and carried marks their entire life, so we have the privilege to do it.
Well, the veterans themselves that are within this voting district would probably be over 100,000 at easy. If you consider Baldwin County and Mobile County and Escambia County, because there's like 76,000 veterans here just on the coast, you know, itself. But and our veterans don't stop to realize it, and I didn't realize it either until I got involved in it over the last 8 or 10 years, and certainly while you were in office, and I had occasion to be called by some of our families about some of our veterans that. Maybe gotten a little raw deal and things didn't fall in their place and do things right. And they were at their wits' end, and I was able to get all the information and call and talk with your staff when you were there in the years that you were there. And what a gracious group that you had working for you. And I know you will replace those with as gracious group again. But I mean, I can't talk about it as far as the depth of it, but we got guys out of the brig. I mean, they wasn't supposed to be there to start with. I mean, stupid crap, you know.
We got some bodies back in the country,
right?
I don't want to get into detail.
No, we can't. You know,
we got bodies out of Mexico and Venezuela that were ex-servicemen that we played a role in. But, you know, that is what, you know, being a congressman is more than just voting on, bills that come before us. It's also, it's about customer service.
Right.
It's about taking care of that. I was working on one today. I'm not in office, but I'm still working on issues. And a lady is, she's taken her citizenship and gone through everything. And now they're beginning to call her back because they don't think she's a citizen. Well, Lord have mercy, they swore in 2 years ago. But you know, it's stuff like that most people don't understand. That's
right.
What your congressman handles.
Right.
If you've got passport issues, you know, we're the ones that get those passports done. If you got tax issues, we can do a little bit with IRS, not much. They're kind of a freestanding country on their own.
Sure.
But, you know, especially the veteran community, there's so many things.
Well,
I can't tell you
the VA.
How many veterans we got medals for that never got their medals.
Yes.
Never got the things that were due to them. And you're talking about something that'll lighten your heart.
Ooh.
When you see some of these old vets and you can't present, the only thing I can present is, I cannot present the Purple Heart, I can present everything else.
Right.
But you get an old vet and he's got 7 or 8 medals. Most of them, he didn't even know
he was entitled to, right?
Yes, and I'm thinking of Brother Wilson over there in Baldwin County. He's probably listening to your program tonight. But I think he had 7 or 8 medals, and all he was looking for was one.
Right.
So, those are the type of stuff your congressman does, and You know, you're talking about the veteran community. We're very patriotic down here.
Yes.
You're looking at probably 25 to 27% of the people that are either veterans or married to a veteran.
Right.
So it's a very, very high population down here of veterans because we're very proud, at, you know, of the folks that have stood up and served. So it is a privilege to serve the veteran community. I can't tell you what it means to me. When they bring me a problem, we're able to help.
Right. And you have proven that. And that's the thing that I'm hanging my hat on is that you have been there and done that, and I know what you have done because I've asked you to do things for some of our veterans here. And as Lou was talking about, I'm not at liberty to talk about it, and I wouldn't do it anyway. But the thing that we thought was impossible, and your staff and your office there, they did such a glorious job protecting our guys and getting them out of these scenarios. And, you know, and then it's just unbelievable what all they do. But, you know, you're talking about our veterans voting, and guys, you know, vets out there, if you would just stop to think that if we could all get together and we'd all get on the same dang page, do you realize what we could do as veterans and who we could put in office and how we could keep good people in the office? And we wouldn't have to worry about all this other BS that's going on out here, you know.
And we've got another election coming up in November.
Right, right.
You know, and it's going to be Republican versus Democrat.
There you go.
And the Democrat Party right now, it's just gone absolutely crazy with this communism and socialism and all the ismalisms that they've got
right.
going on. I don't understand why in the world my Democrat friends would even vote for that.
Well, you know, and that's the Democratic Party has changed, you know, in the last 30, 40 years or so.
Oh, my gosh.
And yes. Back in the day when I was coming up in the 20s and 30s and 40s, when I was starting to vote, well, the Democratic Party was like the Republican Party is now. You know, they were there to protect the people and all, and it wasn't all freebies. We wasn't trying to give everything away. And, you know. But now
exactly
we're trying to turn it into a socialist country and all. And as I say, if our veterans, we went and fought a dang war for this, guys, and all of us have been under fire, and now we won't stick together and get the good guys back in here, and let them take care of us. We got to stand up.
Well, I appreciate your kind words. We got to get the vote out.
Yes, sir. Well, that's very important. You all right, brother?
I'm fine. Been a long day, and I've done a lot of talking. It's catching up with me.
Okay. You're probably about to lose your voice, and I totally understand that. But we appreciate you taking the time to be on board with us tonight, Jerry.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, buddy.
God bless you.
Everybody get out and vote next Tuesday. We got to do it. It's 5%. Figures. Sucks. Excuse my French. It sucks to think that there's only 5% of the people would take the time to go out and vote for such an important position. So I'll be there with bells on, you know. We appreciate you, Jerry, being on board here with us tonight. And appreciate Phil being with us as well. But we're going to come back here. We'll have Phil on with us after the tirade. And right now we're going to go to a break. And try to get everything going so that we can you can hear my opinion on the tirade here. I have a tendency to get fired up here, but you know it is what it is. And on the other side to break my tirade on, we won't get fooled again when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Claxton.
For many Americans, the year that has been 2020 is one that they simply want to go away. And yet we still have a quarter to go with much left to undertake and encounter, including a hotly contested election for president. With the House and Senate up for grabs, We still face the final menace of the panic pandemic, with numerous blue states still closed for business and many of the tin pot blue state governors and mayors threatening not only your personal life and liberties, but also the religious freedom of entire groups.
You know, I have to say to the Orthodox community tomorrow, if you're not willing to live with these rules, then I'm going to close the synagogues.
Of course, what do you expect from the man who had no problem stealing private property without any constitutional authority?
So I'm going to sign an executive order that says the state can take ventilators and PPE from institutions.
And although they have been hidden from the headlines of the Main Street media in order to tamp down the growing revulsion of middle American pre-election, the peaceful protest,
I'm using air quotes and smiling on that one, okay?
Actually, the riots and looting and destruction of personal property, lives and dreams continue in the major Democratic communist-run cities throughout the nation under the faux banner of Black Lives Matter, or is it the Green New Deal? Or is it to kill capitalism? Or is it another round of, I need a new set of Jordans, a flat TV screen, and some gin and juice for the weekend? Whatever the excuse, the rape and pillage of America continues. Portland is now on 140 days under siege and counting, with cover from candidate Joe Weekend at the Bidens.
Yeah, but Lomax is dead. He's not around anybody anymore.
I know that. You know that. Nobody else knows that.
Huh? Oh! Push for it. It looks good enough. Let's go.
Uh-oh.
Larry, what?
Huh?
Oh.
Really?
Hi, Bernie.
Hey, Bernie, just like last week, huh?
Animal, you are insatiable.
Doesn't anyone realize he's dead?
Then Kamala.
I slept with the other slick Willie
Harris. We, the American patriots, find ourselves subjected to the ongoing pedantic sophistries of such mensuck midgets as LeBron James and Alyssa Milano, neither of whom stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but both of whom purport to be experts on topics ranging from alleged systemic racism to climate change. Although LeBron might be better served focusing on his basketball before he loses to the woeful Miami Heat, and Milano might want to figure out how to pay her debts and resurrect the TV show In Search Of to find out where her career went. What I think is most disturbing is that much of the discord in our nation that is being stoked by progressive political leaders and the cult of personality is being acted upon by young, educated, privileged white kids. Not those whom you might think would be storming the streets searching for justice. Yep, it is those with mountains of white privilege who are largely responsible for the grassroots efforts to overturn the very foundations of our nation, who vilify our founders and institutions such as our military, our veterans, and our police. They seek to destroy that which they do not understand after years of indoctrination at the hands of the progressive public education system and the mind-numbing bleeding of the leftist state-run media outlets and the newfound platform of social media. Unfortunately, this is nothing new in our nation. We saw it in the counterculture of the 1960s, which brought us stellar citizens such as cult murderer Charles Manson, the terrorist Black Panther movement, and the cop-killing Weather Underground led by Obama's pals Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. So while the hippies of yesterday are now the anti-American leaders of the new progressive democratic social communist Marxist party, we can turn back the clock and listen to the prophetic words of Joe Friday from the classic TV show Dragnet with a little advice from our misguided youth.
You just don't understand.
Maybe we do, son. Don't think you have a corner on all of virtue vision in the country, or that everybody else is fat and selfish and you're the first generation to come along that's felt dissatisfied. They all have, you know, about different things, and most of them didn't have the same opportunity and freedoms that you do. Let's talk poverty. Most places in the world, that's not a problem. It's a way of life. And rights, they're liable to give you a blank stare because they may not know what you're talking about. The fact is, more people are living better right here than anywhere else ever before in history. So don't expect us to roll over and play dead when you say you're dissatisfied. It's not perfect, but it's a great deal better than when we grew up. 100 men standing in the street hoping for one job, selling apples on the street corner. That's one of the things we were dissatisfied about, and you don't see that much anymore.
You're taller, stronger, healthier, better educated, and you live longer than the last generation. And we don't think that's altogether bad. You've probably never seen a quarantine sign in your neighbor's door. Diphtheria, scarlet fever, whooping cough. Probably none of your classmates are crippled with polio. You don't see many mastoid scars anymore. We've done quite a bit of fighting all around the world. Whether you think it was moral or not, a lot of people are free today to make their own mistakes because of it. And that may just include you.
I don't know. Maybe part of it's the fact that you're in a hurry. You've grown up on instant orange juice. Flip a dial, instant entertainment. Dial seven digits, instant communication. Turn a key, push a pedal, instant transportation. Flash a card, instant money. Shove in a problem, push a few buttons, instant answers. But some problems you can't get quick answers to, no matter how much you want them. We took a little boy into Central Receiving Hospital yesterday. He was 4 years old. He weighs 8.5 pounds. His parents just haven't bothered to feed him. Now give me a fast answer to that one. One that'll stop that from ever happening again. And if you can't settle that one, what about the 55,000 Americans who will die on the highways this year? That's nearly 6 or 7 times the number that'll get killed in Vietnam. Why aren't you up in arms about that? Or is dying in a car somehow moral? Tell me how to wipe out prejudice. I'll settle for just the prejudices you have inside yourselves. Show me how to get rid of the unlimited capacity for human beings to make themselves believe that they're somehow right and justified in stealing from somebody or hurting somebody. And you'll just about put this place here out of business.
I don't think that we're telling you to lose your ideals or your sense of outrage. They're the only way things ever get done. And there's a lot that still needs doing. And we hope you'll tackle it. You don't have to do anything dramatic like trying to come up with a better country. You can find enough to keep you busy right here. While you're at it, don't break things up in the name of progress or crack a placard stick over somebody's head to help him see the light. Be careful of his rights, because your property and your person and your rights aren't any better than his. And next time, you may be the one to get it. We remember a man who killed 6 million people and called it social improvement.
So hang in. Don't try to build a new country. Make the old one work. It has for over 400 years. And by the world's standards, that's hardly more than yesterday.
I don't think I could have said it better myself, except that Joe forgot to warn these members of the Progressive Zombie Army that with liberty at stake in the very future of our nation in the balance, true American patriots, and that includes us old-timer veterans, will stand and defend the Constitution once again, with our lives if necessary. You might want to remember that the next time your pasty, pudgy, overprotected, privileged white ass steps out on the streets to destroy another business, burn another block, deface another veteran's memorial dedicated to those who fought for your right to whine, or threaten hardworking Americans who pay taxes so your sorry ass can walk the streets under police protection, if you want to play for all the marbles, you got it. Just remember, your participation trophy this time just might be a red badge of cowardice. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Just remember, the older we get, the less the death penalty really scares us.
Teenage wasteland. It's only teenage wasteland. Teenage wasteland. Oh, yeah. Teenage wasteland. They're all wasted.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program, Voice of the Veterans for Veterans, 106.5 FM and streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I hope I didn't run too many people off there, but, you know, we're all entitled to our opinion, and I don't think there was anything said there that wasn't true, hasn't been true, and hasn't happened. So, you know, we can't satisfy everybody in the world, but I'm not going to stand by and let this country be run over, you know. I give too much time as a veteran. Too many of my brothers and veterans have lost their lives, you know. You take the 54,000 that we lost in Vietnam, you know, then look at the 82,000 of the POWs or the MIAs that are still missing. We don't know where the heck they are. And we're just so glad that we found one of them here that is returning home this weekend so that he'll receive his proper grave from the Korean War. And there's still, you know, out of all the ones that they found over there, there's still a bunch of our veterans from the Korean War that still hadn't been found yet. Not a piece of them, not even a finger or something, anything that's got some DNA on it. Because, you know, they could check any bone now and any part of a person's body that still may be there. So with the sophistication of all of our forensic and in the DNA process that we have available. And that's how this great veteran was identified. We don't know how much was there, if it was a whole body or what. But, you know, Phil, you know, it's just we just got to say thank you. And to all the parts of our federal government that still are out there looking, still trying to bring our MIAs home.
No, you're right. And never said better than what you just said, how many are still out there.
Right.
And, you know, we're bringing one in. We're bringing one home.
Right, right.
And that's awesome. But there's still more to do.
Sure, there's still more to do out there. And that there's the federal government has a Pacific mm-hmm. organization that is still trying mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to find bodies in Vietnam. We're still trying to find bodies from you know, from World War II. Mm-hmm. So you know, we never give up. That's a lifetime deal there, because those veterans deserve to be found and recognized and identified and brought home to let the families have some closure mm-hmm. and be able to move forward. Because you know, they sit and prayed every day that, wonder what happened to my brother, wonder what happened to my nephew, wonder what happened to my cousin. You know, we don't know what happened. So to have one coming home like this and be able to give them the proper recognition and proper memorial services that this gentleman will certainly receive, and man, it's good to see it happen, though, Eddieville.
Awesome. Never said better. Hey, Tom. 5 to 7, Friday night, August 7th. That's Purple Heart Night, and I can't wait to see you there, brother.
Daphne Civic Center. Come on over and see us, guys. There's plenty of room over there. It'll hold 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. That brings us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Radio Program. Voice of the Veterans for Veterans. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. A huge thank you to all of our supporters and sponsors, and please let them know you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. Hoorah!